The Out of Bounds Show is powered by the award-winning golf courses at Dancing Rabbit Golf Club in Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Good morning. Welcome in. We are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone, brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance. Bundle your auto and home. Save with your local Farm Bureau insurance agent in any of the 82 counties in the state of Mississippi. Hit favorites.com. Farm Bureau Insurance, call in line 601-707-3750. We were talking Ole Miss baseball today. And so they've won seven in a row, six conference games in a row. They host Texas A&M, who is a nice team. But Ole Miss should win this series this weekend, go to Hoover, do whatever they do, and then punch their ticket to the postseason. Here's my take on it. It's the same as February 15th. It's all about rolling through the postseason. This is, I don't believe, but for one second, the fan base is going to be good with, now that, you know, this turnaround's great. It's something to get excited about. But I don't believe in a couple of weeks, if they go to a regional and lose, that'll be okay. Or go to a super regional and lose. It's still the same deal. And I know that sounds crazy. They're not going to host, which I think may actually play in their favor because of the pressure. But the bottom line is this is about winning and winning big in the postseason. And they have a loaded lineup. Bench, Gonzalez, Elko, Graham, Alderman. And it just goes on and on. But they're getting it on the bump, too. I mean, Hunter Elliott was fabulous on Saturday, among others, over the weekend in Baton Rouge. And they swept the Tigers. So we want to welcome in Parrish Alford. He has been covering Mike Bianco since Bianco started at Ole Miss. And he joins us on the Corona Premier Guest Line, Parrish Alford, djournal.com, djournal.com. Also, their Facebook page is popping, where they're constantly uploading fresh content and telling you what's going on with Ole Miss. All right, Parrish, so what is your one big takeaway from the last two weekends with this Ole Miss baseball team?
Well, I just think you nailed the one big takeaway, man. It's all about the postseason. Now, you would rather see this team get hot and play well like they're doing than the opposite. You know, you don't want to just flame out at the end, but this is – the standard, I mean, it's been set. I mean, we know what the standard is in this, for the fan base anyway, I'm talking about, and it's to get to Omaha. I mean, there's just nothing that Ole Miss could accomplish short of getting to Omaha is going to change that discussion. Now, what they're doing right now is exciting, and they're playing well, and it just makes you ask, where has this hitting been most of the season with all of these guys returning? You know, why the struggle for so much of the season to put yourself in a position to make every game a pressure game right now? But what is interesting, Bo, and I don't think they'll host, but if they were to sweep Texas A&M, and that's not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, I saw A&M pitchers leave a lot of balls in the zone this weekend against Mississippi State. But if they were to sweep, if Ole Miss were to sweep A&M, the Rebels would be 16-14 in conference play. They've hosted regionals at 16-14. You know, the RPI, I don't think, is going to jump 20 spots and give them a chance to do that. But they would be 16-14 if they were to sweep A&M.
Parrish Alford on the Out of Bounds Show and the Corona Premier Guest Line. They're hitting, and then they're getting some – good production from the bump, Parrish. I mean, when you look at Hunter Elliott and some of the guys on the back end when they needed in close games, you don't ever know, but things could be coming together both on the mound and at the plate. Parrish?
They could. I still think that while they have found two good starters with Dylan DeLucia and Hunter Elliott, I just don't think they have that third really good dependable starter that is going to that you got to have, that you need to get through a regional, that you need to get through a super regional. It becomes so much about pitching at this stage of the season, and I believe they've taken some strides and they've developed here a little bit late. I just don't think they're where they need to be for a postseason run.
Do you put, you know, this team meeting that happened after the Mississippi State game on Sunday a few weeks ago, you put a lot of stock in that? Look, they've got a bunch of dudes on this team, as you know, Parrish, that have played well north of 150 games in college baseball, which is valuable. And they've got a ton of veterans who have seen it all and done it all. That's why we thought that they would make, you know, be really good all year. How much stock do you put into the team meeting after the state series?
Yeah, I don't think the team meeting, I don't put a lot of stock in the team meeting. I don't know that that's necessarily what gets you on a roll. I mean, I think what gets you on a roll is just is a very random thing, and it's one guy or maybe two guys who suddenly are playing well. And look, for Ole Miss, I think those guys are Kemp Alderman and Kevin Graham. I mean, it looks like they've hit consistently here down the stretch. They've gotten some big hits, and so that's two guys in their lineup that are feeling it. And all of a sudden, you know, Peyton Chatagnier's having a nice weekend. You know, yeah. it kind of builds. And I don't think that all comes from, airing your feelings in a private meeting. I mean, I'm sure there's some value in that. You just need to talk it out sometimes. But I just think that getting on a roll is more of a random thing. I mean, if they could have a team meeting and flip the switch, you know, they could have done that earlier in the season. I do think that after the state series, there was a lot of frustration. You know, they played well at Arkansas, could have won that series. Mm-hmm. And they have looked different, but I just don't put a lot of stock in, hey, we had a meeting and that was it. I mean, you know, it was interesting.
I have to tell you about this game-changing product I use before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before I drink, I notice a difference the next day, even after a night out. For example, when we smash steaks and drink bourbon and so on, I do it without worry because of Z-Biotics. You should too. Go to zbiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Cheers. This is a team that, this is a program that hasn't handled postseason pressure well. Maybe playing away from Swayze could be a little bit of an advantage for them. Parrish, you make a good point, by the way, against A&M this weekend. I expect them to win the series, but they could also sweep. And whatever they do in Hoover is whatever they do. But, you know, there's still a good possibility that wherever they're sent, wherever they're shipped off to, that they're the best team in the regional, right?
I think there are a lot of teams that see themselves as locked into regional hosts right now that are getting ready for that. And, you know, they're marketing people and their ticket people. Everybody's getting ready to host that regional. And, you know, those pairings are going to come out on Memorial Day, and all of a sudden they're going to see Ole Miss is coming in there as a 2 seed. And they're going to think, man, how do we get this team? That's a team that people don't want to face in their regional right now because they are playing at such a higher level. They have figured out some things, and I believe some pitching has developed. And look, for the last couple of weeks, they've looked like the Ole Miss team that so many people remember for so many seasons and thought they were going to get this year. If they had written off Ole Miss, that, you know, the Rebels are kind of proving them wrong, and I think they're going to make a lot of people nervous when they arrive at their regional.
I agree with that. I do. All right, so third starter is a question mark. You're right on Alderman. Good grief. Is he finding his pop at the plate? I guess you are who you are pretty much on the bump right now, Parrish?
Yeah, I think so. And it's just been late in coming for this team. And see, that's a thing that Mike Bianco's teams have done so well through the years. When they've lost a great pitcher, they've found that next guy. And it just didn't come early this season. You know, we heard all the talk in preseason, the candidates and the guys who were in the mix, to be that rotation. And it just hasn't worked out that way. Neither of the two transfers, John Gattis or Jack Washburn, neither, you know, jumped up and really took that SEC weekend spot and just held it and did great things. They've had moments, but those guys coming into a program like that, you're hoping one of them is going to find a way to the weekend rotation and be productive. And neither of them were able to hold that. And there have been, it's not just transfers. There have been others that just haven't taken the necessary steps. And whereas this team, this program in so many years has found that guy, found that next pitcher or a couple of pitchers, it just took longer this year. And Hunter Elliott was a guy who was mentioned at the very beginning, you know, a freshman, and he didn't jump up right away. And certainly not all freshmen do that right away, but sure. He has found himself. Dylan DeLucia, again, you know, has become a guy who goes deep into games and takes some pressure off the bullpen. And they've come around late.
Freshman Hunter Elliott for Ole Miss pitched a gem on Saturday. Parrish Alford, Ole Miss insider, has been following Mike Bianco for 20 years. And this guy is not going to go away quietly. And Ole Miss is going to punch their ticket to the postseason. It's just a matter of how it all looks, as Parrish said, on that Memorial Day Monday. Let's say they take the series this weekend. What is the approach in Hoover? Because can you really make – because I don't know how much – at that point, you're going to be a two seed on the road. What kind of – how do you approach that if you're Bianco and the Rebels, Parrish?
I think they've put themselves in a position where they need to win as many baseball games as they can. Okay. Yeah, they need to win the Texas A&M series. If they could get to 16, I think – if they could get to 16, which would require a sweep, then Hoover changes. I think maybe 16 and 14 in the regular season and a long run in Hoover, maybe get to Saturday in the semifinals, that kind of thing. Maybe you get in that hosting discussion then, depending on what happens in some other conference tournaments and maybe some bubble host teams fall out. But it's just a stretch. It's hard for me to imagine that they would host with a 15 and 15 regular season. I think it would require winning three games this weekend, and I think they're capable of that. I think Texas A&M is a good team, not a great team right now. They've got their own pitching depth issues. Mm-hmm. It would be really, really hard to win three games, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, A&M didn't really impress me over the weekend. I mean, they're good, but Mississippi State's just, you know, going the opposite direction and can't get out of their own way. Is there anybody else you're looking on on the roster or squad that you're thinking either maybe close to doing something or can be a big piece of the puzzle in the postseason for Ole Miss?
I'm not sure. I'm not that in tune with the roster from day to day right now. That would be Michael Katz for us. But I think roles are established. I mean, I don't think there's somebody who's going to come back from injury. You don't have that guy kind of that you're waiting on. I think you get to this point, you kind of know who you are. You've been through the grind. And, you've got guys who have been in the rotation and have fallen out and found their way to important bullpen roles. You know, you have guys like that. But, I mean, there have been a lot of innings pitched, a lot of at-bats. You kind of know who you are.
Yeah. Parrish Alford, Ole Miss insider on the Out of Bounds show and the Corona Premier Guest Line. Also, it looks like Kentucky and South Carolina could open up. So that's something to think about as we march down the stretch and get closer to the postseason. Parrish, thanks so much. We appreciate it. I can't wait to see how this all shakes out. And big weekend in Oxford. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Bo. Have a good day.
DJournal.com, Parrish Alford, their Facebook page, Ole Miss Discussion with Parrish Alford, loading up fresh content throughout the day. Check that out. Ole Miss Discussion with Parrish Alford. And, of course, DJournal.com. And he referenced Michael Katz, who is their Ole Miss beat writer for DJournal.com. So there you go. Ole Miss has won 6 conference games in a row, 7 in a row overall, and they go down and sweep the LSU Tigers, and now they host an A&M team that if you ran the numbers on it, Ole Miss would be the favorite to take that series. Can they take 2? We'll see. Can they sweep? Boy, that would be a lot of momentum going into Hoover. Parrish may be right. They just need to win baseball games even if they go to Hoover. Although I could see the flip side. You kind of are what you are, and who you know, you're going to be a number 2 seed if you take care of business this weekend. But maybe you just want to keep playing in Hoover Met. Mississippi State, their season is over, and they get to host the best team in the country. Yeah, I mean, it could be 34-5 this weekend.
Mm.
Like, total score.
In game one?
Oh. No, over the course of the 3 games, it could. I think it'll be a dead crowd. Obviously, you're going to have your core group that's going to go, whether it's in the stands or out there, foul pole to foul pole, because it's last game of the year and they spend a lot of money and they have too much invested and they're going to go and have fun.
Yeah.
As they should, but
catching a lot of Tennessee home runs.
That's true. And, you know, they've had every opportunity down the stretch to win. They can't win close games.
They can't win games, period, at this point.
That's right.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, that goes back to even when Landon Sims was healthy. Look at the first game of the season. He pitches you a 1-run, like 7 innings, and you lose 3-0, right? Like, this team from the beginning wasn't built the way they've been built since 2016, but you had a transcendent top 4 player of the program for 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And you followed that with the first player to win SEC Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, and get you a national title in Tanner Allen. So for a 6-year stretch, you had 2 of the best 8 players in the program's history.
Yes. Well, and Landon's top 10 player, even though it's one, I don't care that it's 1 season, kind of like Cam Newton at Auburn.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, Cam didn't play 3 years. I don't care. He didn't play 4. It doesn't matter. You had Landon Sims and Tanner Allen. They're both top 10 players in the program.
Yeah.
And they weren't just good. They were good every single month of the season.
And they both performed at an elite level for the same year, which allowed you to get to the point where Will Bednar could be the best postseason pitcher of all time, right? Like, he may not be, you take his whole season, maybe he's not a top 5 pitcher in program history, but you take his postseason and he's the number 1 postseason pitcher in program history. You had all of that come together. That's on top of the 4 years of Jake Mangum. There just was no way. I mean, eventually it had to end.
I think going to a regional kind of like old, you know, and being not hosting and just going and maybe having a shot to play could have been something the fan base could have been okay with.
The fall was farther than anyone expected.
Yeah, but when you've only won 9 conference games.
Let me ask you this question. As much as we're talking about Mike Bianco.
And I don't see him winning a game against Tennessee.
No. As much as we're talking about Mike Bianco and whether or not this is a legacy, you know, ender/legacy definer, like, okay, he'll end on a positive note, or if this actually extends his career in Oxford. On the same token, how do you judge this season for Chris Lemonis, given what he entered in, both COVID and the players that he inherited, and how the year went under the national title, to then turn around and have this? I know there's a lot of dissension among the ranks, so to speak, of, well, what is this? Does this say more about the players on the team? Does it say more about the coaching staff? What is your kind of end of year synopsis as you look at this Mississippi State program?
I think you give Chris Lemonis the overwhelming benefit of the doubt because he's been to the College World Series twice as your coach. And you take out the COVID years because nobody went.
Yeah.
So he'll be fine. There will be a lot of chatter in the offseason. I have the utmost confidence that they'll turn this around. How about that?
There you go.
Through a combination of several different ways. Transfer portal, guys already there, like Hunter Hines and Cade Smith. Now, if Cam James, again, if Cam James and Kellum Clark and Luke Hancock come back, I mean, that's guys that have played a ton of baseball. That's usually, not always, usually a good thing. Mm-hmm. And if they all take just a step forward, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Cam in center, he's super athletic. He can play there. Kellum Clark in left, you'll figure it out at right. Hunter's going to go to first.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work back from there. You got to do a lot up the middle. And we'll see. But I'm not one that thinks that Lemonis can't get it done. I also think that having three head coaches in a short period of time finally caught up with you.
Yeah.
You were able to overcome it because some of the players you just referenced that were transcendent and some of the best to ever play in the maroon and white, it just finally caught up to you. A Bianco being at Ole Miss, you know, some of these other guys, O'Sullivan and others.
Yeah. Van Horn is just a machine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
And so there was just, I think it finally caught up with you.
Yeah.
And they gave some guys the benefit of the doubt that just.
But that happens when you win the first title in program history.
No question.
I hate to say this, but like the whole act like you've been there before. I mean, Mississippi State's never been there before. So I don't think anyone expected the step back that you saw, and there were some extenuating circumstances that made the step back even larger than it would have normally been, but you just...
Yeah, the staff was decimated, injury-wise.
And you just didn't maybe handle the post-championship boost the right way, you know? There could have been maybe more done in the portal, maybe more to immediately bolster yourself.
There's no question you could have gotten three players in the portal that wanted to come, and you passed because you wanted to give the players who had played roles the benefit of the doubt on a national championship team.
And I think what this shows you, and it's what Nick Saban
let's just go ahead and has call done. It. Tanner Allen may be the best player that you ever had in the program.
It legitimately might be. And that's crazy to say that coming out of Jake Maven.
Tanner will not have the same pro career as Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro. That's not what I'm saying. Tanner Allen may be the best college baseball player.
He played from day one.
That you've ever had.
And he played like a superstar from day one. It's pretty remarkable.
And he was a super, super, super star. He was the National Player of the Year last year.
It's hard to, like, again.
Yes, he was the SEC Player of the Year. He was the Nat. How many Mississippi State and Ole Miss players in one of the big three sports have been National Player of the Year?
Maybe Will Clark, and that's it. I don't know if there's anybody else.
Okay.
Will and Tanner. I mean, that's like Jake Mangum didn't get National Player of the Year. Brent Rooker, who won the Triple Crown, didn't get National Player of the Year. I mean, you can go back and back. It's, yeah. And he did it almost quietly in the shadow of Jake Mangum, whose image was more transcendent than Tanner Allen's until he won the national title.
Until the very end.
Probably 50-50, maybe.
That's right.
But the shadow of Mangum to be. To have a Tanner Allen behind Jake Mangum is just unheard of.
It would be like having a Cam Newton and then having
Joe Burrow right after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you go from Eli straight into someone, you know, Drew Brees, right? Like, who? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like,
all right. Thanks for the tease. Yeah. Speaking of, what is Drew Brees talking about? I love Drew Brees. The guy's amazing. He's a winner. Everything you want in your franchise, just a solid, solid citizen. What's he talking about? I'm leaving the door open to play again. Play what? Arena League football? I don't understand. The Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone, is brought to you by Fleetway Market. Fuel up at Fleetway Market. And don't forget about the Market Cafe at Fleetway Market in Glugstadt. Fuel up at Fleetway Market.